What is reversed kundalini? Today, you will get a valuable opportunity to find out the harmful effects of awakening kundalini in a descendant direction and study the tantric and Taoist view on homosexuality. After this, we continue the series of articles entitled Awakened Consciousness, in which the mystic Gurdjieff takes us on a journey from heightened awareness to enlightenment. The meditation of the day will exemplify the state of virility of the spiritual hero. This is a wonderful chance to feel the dynamism and willpower of a person who embarks on the quest of spiritual discovery. Tiger Lily will guide you through today's revelations.
This is Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I am your host, Valentino. Reversed Kundalini, Part 1. The great cosmic energy, Kundalini, the pure energy of the Supreme Self or Atman, is sleeping deeply in the rectum in the region called Mooladhara Chakra. It has the shape of a snake coiled 3.5 times. As long as it is sleeping, the soul is just an animal and there is no true knowledge of things. When you strongly contract and relax the anal sphincter, try to feel everything that is happening in this part of the body. This is what they call Ashvini Mudra, and it is often said that it is the most efficient way to wake up the inner Shakti. A passage from Giranda Samhita. Ancient Chinese erotic texts name the normal heterosexual erotic act as union of the clouds and rain, or Yun Yu. Male homosexuality, which is completely forbidden in Tantra and in Taoism, being considered a perversity and a huge sin, is usually called reversed clouds and reversed rain, or Fan Yun Fu Yu, especially when it hints to the anal penetration of a man by another man. In the Indian Tantric tradition, male homosexuality, completely rejected by the Oriental wisdom tradition, is often called reversed kundalini. The term is used here to describe certain regressive and deeply perverted sexual practices. The reversed kundalini, as the term suggests very clearly, refers to any degrading and perverted sexual practice that reverses the natural ascendant flux of sexual energy, in case of sublimation, that results from the biological transmutation of the sexual potential. Anal sex with a man always reverses the flow of the sexual energy in the passive partner. Many ancient texts warn about anal sex or reversed kundalini. They say that the sensation that appears is a chill followed by a strange, scary, and somewhat exciting thrill at the same time. Oriental traditions say that the abject and degrading experience of the reversed kundalini is deeply noxious to the psychic and to the mind, and it also weakens the body physically. Thus, the ones that are tempted to experiment with male homosexuality almost never realize the severe danger they submit to. In order to understand what reverse kundalini really is, it is necessary to analyze the yogi traditional anatomy and to correlate it with the modern anatomy. The yogic text, Gora Shakat Takam, says that there is a special sexual gland above the lingam, and under the belly button there is a root or a bulb known as kanda. It looks kind of like a bird's egg. This is the mysterious source from which the 72,000 subtle energy channels, or nadi, spread forth and carry the subtle energy of life. On top of this root, there sits the self-potent kundalini, who is coiled 3.5 times, and it closes the entrance to the central channel, known as Shushumna Nadi, with its mouth. When it is awakened by the inner fire and fed constantly and consciously through the vital breath, kundalini raises through the central channel, known as Shushumna, carrying with it a vital force as a column of light. Gray's Anatomy, a well-known medical work, describes a sexual gland, the prostate, as follows. The prostate looks like a chestnut in form and size. It is situated in the pelvic cavity and it leans on the rectum. Through the rectum, the prostate can be easily felt, especially when it is oversized. Its base is oriented up and it is situated right under the bladder, to the right of the urethra. The peak of the prostate is oriented downwards, to the deep stratum of the triangle ligament, which it also touches. The prostate is made up of two lateral lobes and one medial lobe, and the urethra and the ejaculation channels penetrate. It is covered by a thin but resistant fiber capsule that separates it from the venal plaques. It is obvious that the prostate and the sexual gland described in the ancient yogic text previously mentioned are one and the same. Anal sex between men can stimulate the prostate gland through the rectal wall, leading the excited man to a very fast ejaculation. So, the stimulation of the prostate in the case of homosexuals leads to the reversing of Kundalini. The tantric master's vision on this degrading, abject, and perverted practice was: the normal rising of the Kundalini, which is awakened by sexual excitement, in the case of lovemaking between a man and a woman, is immediately blocked. The pressure that is created makes the Kundalini energy come back to itself and move in a downward direction. The only subtle channels through which the energy flows are the ones leading to the inferior parts of the body. The long-term effects of reversed Kundalini are sucking the life out of the upper parts of the body, making the limbs and the inferior part grow heavier, and determining an increased psycho-spiritual lethargy of the entire being. Anal sex between two homosexuals is not the only cause of reversed Kundalini. Sometimes even a very powerful fear or long-term stress may induce the same effect in a person, determining permanent contraction, followed shortly by a low temperature and the sensation of the loss of vitality in the upper parts of the body. The phenomenon of reverse Kundalini may also appear in case of too much physical stress, sudden shock, or persistent neurotic obsession, especially in cases of paranoia and schizophrenia. The aforementioned circumstances may generate discomfort and lack of equilibrium in the vital flow of energy. One of the most usual causes of reversed Kundalini in sexual context is the case of a man and a woman who have intense sexual intercourse after a heavy meal. If performed without continence and not sustained by love, transfiguration, and devotion, this can have very serious and detrimental effects on both of them. In such a case, the subtle fire, which usually helps digestion, focuses at the level of the stomach and intestines, inhibiting and blocking the free flow of energy. It will shortly lead to a state of deep sleep and heaviness, and also to some sensations that are totally different from the elevating experience in case of a transfiguring and devoted erotic union. Reversed Kundalini, Part 2. Other symptoms of reversed Kundalini: an irrational feeling of separation from the individual self, a preoccupation with morbid fantasies, sadomasochistic obsessions, change of body temperature, heavy breathing, and weakness of the limbs. In these situations, reversed Kundalini can be fought with a harmonious, natural lifestyle, breathing exercises that help very much to reverse descending energy flows, and healthy sexual practices that involve sexual continence, a careful transfiguration, much love, divine integration, and the consecration of the erotic play to God. A very useful hatha yoga exercise for rising Kundalini is Mula Bandha, the rhythmical and firm contraction of the muscles of the anal sphincters. The secret root center, or Mooladhara Chakra, is complex and all its elements are interconnected. The Oriental anatomic views are interested in this area because it confirms many ancient descriptions of this force center as well as the way it functions. There are structures around the backbone in the coccyx area. There is a bony structure formed of four coccyx elements and some so-called horns which articulate with some sacred horns, a triangle compound in the posterior part of the pelvis. Certain authors consider this whole zone as the remains of an animal tail that has atrophied during the evolutionary process. The perineum zone represents a complex structure situated between the anus and genitals, which is formed from four parts known in the medical world as the pubococcygeal muscle, placed in the front, the external muscle of the anal sphincter, placed in the back, and two superficial perineum muscles, placed on the sides. The first of these muscles is responsible for the expulsion of urine and is also the accessory erection muscle. Its contractions lead to the ejaculation of sperm. In women, this muscle is responsible for the contraction and relaxation of the vaginal orifice. Conscious control of this muscle is an aim of a considerable importance within the tantric tradition. The so-called shy or pudenda nerve is the main nervous connection with the perineum muscles. Perfect conscious control of this nerve gives complete control over male erection and ejaculation and over female contractions of the yoni. The three branches of this nerve, the shy or pudenda nerve, go up into the pelvis and come out as the sacred nerves and finally reunite into the sciatic nerve. The shy nerve finally leaves the perineum zone as a dorsal nerve in the lingam for men or of the yoni for women. Tantric descriptions tell us about a lotus with four petals, known as Mulatara Chakra. In its interior, there is a second square or base governed by a god with an elephant head, known as Ganesha, on top of which there is a triangle that has inside of it a lingam, the prostate, surrounded by Kundalini. This is the place where the central channel, known as Sushumna Nadi, starts, which reaches all the other subtle energy centers, known as chakras. Inside the prostate, there are seminal vesicles, also known as blank bags, each having the approximate form and size of the little finger, considered in Eastern medicine as the male homologue of the uterus and vagina. They are responsible for the secretion of alkaline elements in the seminal fluid, like the secretions from the yoni of aroused women. There is also an ejaculating channel going from the prostate to the rectum. Women do not have a prostate, but they have a cervix, which is the flower of the uterus. A thin membrane separates the cervix from the anal passage. It is therefore understandable that an unusual position of the cervix, or the uterus, can often be a psychological cause for some women to experience great pleasure from anal sex. The blockage of the prostate for men, or the cervix, pressing from the inside of the rectum for women, in the case of the man or the woman who does not practice sexual continence, leads to an abnormal flow of subtle sexual energy accumulated at this level, which then discharges in a descendant direction. Such phenomena of reversed kundalini can lead to neurosis and other personality disorders. In such cases, sensibility is replaced by cynicism. Other physical symptoms are a disharmonious gain in weight, the sudden thickening of the inferior parts of the body, the waist, the hips, and legs become strangely fatter and heavier without a considerable change in eating habits. A healthy lifestyle without meat, tobacco, alcohol, and healthy sexual habits all help to overcome some serious problems generated by the phenomena of reversed kundalini. When sublimating the energy which results from the transmutation of the sexual potential, that is, giving it an upward direction, known as harmonious sublimation, states of morbidity are replaced by spiritual transcendence, radiant beauty, optimism, and wisdom. A passage from Garanda Samhita: firmly close the anal orifice with your left heel by pressing it carefully, then slowly move the rectum muscles. Now strongly but progressively contract the yoni muscles or the perineum muscles placed between the anus and the genitals. Breathe in slowly using Jalandhara Bandha, the firm and permanent pressure of the chin on the neck, contracting the muscles of the neck. This technique is called Mahabandha and it is said to be extremely efficient in eliminating weaknesses of all kinds and for overcoming death. Mahabandha helps those who know how to use it. It makes all their benevolent wishes come true. Awakened Consciousness. Part 2. How can one awaken? How can one escape this sleep? These questions are the most important, the most vital that can ever confront a person. But before this, it is necessary to be convinced of the very fact of sleep. It is possible to become convinced of this only by trying to awaken. When a person understands that they do not remember themselves and that to remember themselves means to awaken to some extent, and when at the same time they see by experience how difficult it is to remember themselves, they will understand that they cannot awaken simply by having the desire to do so. It can be said still more precisely that a person cannot awaken by themselves except in exceptionally rare cases. We are not talking about those cases. But if, let's say, 20 people make an agreement that whichever of them awakens first shall wake the rest, they already have a chance. Even this, however, is insufficient because all 20 can go to sleep at the same time and dream that they are waking up. Therefore, more is still necessary. They must be looked after by a person who is not asleep anymore, or who does not fall asleep as easily as they do. The 20 people must find such a person and hire them to wake them up and not allow them to fall asleep again. Without this, it is impossible to awaken. This is what must be understood. It is possible to think for 1,000 years. It is possible to write whole libraries of books, to create theories by the million, but all in this sleep, without any possibility of awakening. On the contrary, these books and these theories, written and created in sleep, will merely send other people to sleep, and so on. There is nothing new in this idea of sleep. People have been told almost since the creation of the world that they are asleep, and that they must awaken. Christ's disciples even slept when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane for the last time. It is all there, but do people understand it? People take it simply as a form of speech, as an expression, as a metaphor. They completely fail to understand that it must be taken literally, and again, it is easy to understand why. In order to understand this idea literally, it is necessary to awaken a little, or at least try to awaken. I have been asked why nothing is said about this kind of sleep in the Gospels, but it is there, spoken at almost every page. This simply shows that people read the Gospel in their sleep. Generally speaking, what is necessary to awaken a person? A good shock is necessary, but when a person is fast asleep, only one shock is not enough. A long period of continual shocks is needed. Consequently, there must be somebody to administer these shocks. I have said before that if a person wants to awaken, he must hire somebody who will keep on shaking them for a long time. But whom can they hire if everyone is asleep? A person should hire somebody to wake them up, but what happens if this one also falls asleep? What is the use of such a person? A person who can really keep awake will probably refuse to waste their time in waking others up. They may have much more important work to do.
Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, Virility of the Spiritual Hero. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we are meditating upon, we shall use a musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight or assume a meditation pose, such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana or Padmasana. For those of you who are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, neck and head are straight and in a vertical position. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you are bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you are eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb your meditation. Now we are ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the state of virility of the spiritual hero. Let us begin.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us on Tantra FM. Until next time, have a great day.